Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, and let us read again verse 11. Luke 9 and at verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And it's the second half of the verse that I wish to consider this evening, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. The apostles had been sent out to preach the kingdom of God. Now they had returned, and he took them aside to a desert place belonging to Bethsaida. And the people, after they had heard where he was, they followed him, and he received them, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And at the same time, he healed those who had need of healing. Now, we will seek to consider these things together, because there's a connection between them. It's not just that there were two things that happened at the same time, but when we read of Christ preaching about the kingdom of God, then that is what brings spiritual healing to people. People need to hear the gospel. They need to hear preaching. That's the general way that the Lord uses to bring healing to the souls of sinners. And the fact that we have these things taken together here, it should help us to feel our need of being under the preaching of the gospel. We should feel our need of healing for our souls. And if we were to get healing for our souls, we would do well to be coming to hear the gospel and to be doing so regularly. And so we'll try to say something this evening about three matters, God helping us. The first is the need we have of healing, our need of healing. And then in the second place, we will say something about spiritual healing. And then when I speak of the need of healing, it's spiritual healing that I am thinking about. You don't need advice from me, I don't suppose, in connection with the healing of our bodies, what to do if you feel unwell, that sort of thing. We can leave that to others. But the third thing is Christ speaking of the kingdom of God. And we will try to keep in mind the connection between the two parts of our text, the healing and the preaching. First then, our need of healing for our souls. Second, the healing that Christ gives. And then third, Christ speaking of the kingdom of God. We need healing then. That's the first thing. And if people, as to their bodily needs, if people are going to get healing, The first thing is that they should realize that they need that, that they're unwell, that there's some problem with their bodies. And generally speaking, well, perhaps that's too strong, but very often something has to be done about it if whatever it is going to be healed. We need to do something about it. If we have pain or feel unwell, that sort of thing, some things will cure themselves. But as far as spiritual healing is concerned, we need God to heal us. We need input, as it were, from outside. If we're going to have our spiritual diseases cured, we must go to the great physician. That's where we must go. What a blessing modern medicine is, a blessing in God's providence, that has been provided. But you see, this is a blessing, a far greater blessing, that God has provided healing for our souls. He hasn't left us to go on in our need of spiritual healing without providing a remedy. And we can be very thankful, at least we should be very thankful, that the Lord has made that provision. And the Lord has made the corresponding provision of speaking, of preaching about the kingdom of God. Well, it's a serious disease that we have. Or should we say, these are serious diseases that we would put under the heading of spiritual maladies. If we've got spiritual diseases, that's serious. We need to do something about it. And that's what I was saying about the body. We need to do something about it. We should realize that we need medical help. Generally speaking, there are trivial conditions that we can assume we don't need help with. But there's no trivial spiritual disease. It's all serious. We need to get help. We need help. And are we realizing that? You see, God made man upright. Everything was fine. Everything in the Garden of Eden was as it should have been. There was no need to go looking for a spiritual physician. No disease for body or soul it would affect Adam and Eve in the garden before they fell. Everything was fine. They didn't need to worry about their souls. They didn't need to worry about keeping their souls safe. They don't seem to have done that, but perhaps it's not wise to go into that. But what's wise to go into is this, that once they fell, spiritual disease took hold of them. And they were in a bad way. And we need to realize that apart from the spiritual physician, Christ himself, we're in a bad way. And if we're left to ourselves, we'll just go on. We'll not think of getting healing. We'll not approach the great physician as we should do. We'll not approach Christ and say, something like, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Heal me. That should be our petition for our souls. But what I'm trying to get to is this. Spiritual disease is a serious matter. And you have it in Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's not that we've got something superficial that affects us outwardly. It's a bit of a nuisance. It causes a little friction between us and other people at various times. But what we have to say is, this disease is a disease of the heart. And the heart, in the sense that I referred to it this morning, the heart is the very center of our being. The very core of our being is badly affected by this spiritual disease, and we need to be put right. Let us go to the Lord with our troubles, whatever they are, whether they are great or small, but this great trouble particularly, we are to go to the Lord with it. You see, Peter, when they had that poor night's fishing, they caught nothing, and then the Savior told them what to do. The Savior brought a great shoal of fish into their nets, and Peter was so overwhelmed with the wonderful works of Christ that he came to him and said, I am a sinful man, O Lord. And whatever blessings we might get, we should be going to the Lord amazed with the goodness of God to us, the goodness of Christ. That's how we should be reacting to God's goodness. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. Heal me. Now, Peter, whichever way he went, perhaps we could say he went the whole way. And here he was, taken up with the greatness of Christ and the wonderful work that he had accomplished and the wonderful provision he had made for them. When they couldn't find fish themselves, here is a great shoal of fish. It was so big that the nets were breaking. Well, you see, whatever else we notice in this world, whatever else we notice about ourselves, we should be saying, I'm a sinful man, I'm a sinful woman. And I need to be put right. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Ah, well, we live in a desperately wicked world. We have desperately wicked hearts. Hearts that are tending all the time to go this way or that way, but away from God. Hearts that are tending to go away from God. Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we are thinking about, our hearts tend to go away from God. You see, if we think of the fall in Eden, a great part of it was this. Adam and Eve going away from God. Not just that they took the fruit that they were forbidden to take, but something went wrong in their hearts. From being holy in their hearts, they plunged down into a state of desperate wickedness. They needed to be put right. They needed healing. And it would be good for us if we were very conscious of that. We need healing. I need healing. And if that would bring us to the throne of grace, with this plea, Lord, help me. I need to be healed. I need to be put right. I need to be prepared for heaven. Are you thinking about that as the days go by? And the passing of the days bring you closer and closer to the time when you must pass into eternity. And are you saying, Lord, help me. Lord, heal me. I need to be put right so that I might be fit for heaven. This disease that I have will keep me out of heaven. It will leave me with only one other alternative, and that is to go down to eternal destruction. Lord, heal me so that I would not be lost, so that I would not have to endure the terrible, endless punishment that is due to sinners, whatever they think of themselves. But if we're wanting to think properly about ourselves, and that's important, we're only a relatively short time in this world, and there's a lot we have to learn. There's a lot we have to learn about our souls in particular. Yes. And we should be going to God, confessing our ignorance. I haven't really understood this. I haven't understood this or that properly. That's what we should be saying to the Lord, and he is able to teach. Christ is a great teacher, as we were trying to refer to that in the morning. Christ is a great teacher. Go to him and ask him to show you what you are. Ask him to show you your ignorance, your disease, how much you need to be put right as you are making your way on towards eternity. Yes, and we have many illustrations of that in Scripture. There was a man full of leprosy that came to the Savior for healing. And very often we have leprosy set before us as a pattern, as an illustration of the serious nature of the disease of our soul. Well, this man, he didn't just have a bit of leprosy on a finger or two or a toe or two. He was full of leprosy. Must have been a terrible sight. But if we could look at ourselves as it were with the eyes of God, if we could look at ourselves in the way that God sees us, and we would realize that we are full of sin, and we would realize that that's a terrible condition to be in. Or someone might be saying, there's people far worse than I am. Well, maybe. Maybe, and maybe not. You might make a whole list of sins that you're not guilty of, but there's this. The people that are going about the streets today, yes, they're sinning. But most of them very likely have not committed this sin, and that is to be rejecting Christ. And will we not say particularly that those who are rejecting Christ, when Christ is set before them as a Savior to be valued, as a Savior to be received, surely we have to say these people are full of spiritual leprosy. Does that apply to yourself? Going on as the days pass and the Sabbaths pass and the years pass, and you're rejecting Christ. Christ set before you as a perfect Savior, and you will not have him. Don't say then that there's lots of people who have sinned in a far worse way than you have. Yes, I know that murder is a terrible sin. Various other sins against various commandments are serious. Of course they are. But when the Savior was speaking about the Spirit reproving of sin, what did he give us an example? Murder? Adultery? No. He said, sin, because they believe not in me. That was the serious sin in the Savior's view. That has come to this, to recognize the seriousness of rejecting Christ, the seriousness of putting Christ away from us. We will not have this man to reign over us. Is that your language? Christ comes as the King. We'll be speaking, I trust, about the kingdom of God later. And Christ is the King. And Christ comes to us. And what one thing he is saying is, put yourself under my rule. Take me as your King, and it will be well for you. Take me as your ruler, and it will be well with you. And you will get to heaven. And you say, we do not want this man to rule over us. We do not want Christ as a ruler. We don't want. And then take another look at yourself and say, I'm a sinner. I'm a serious sinner. And draw the conclusion which should be obvious. And that is, I need Christ. I need him as a physician to put me right. I need him to put me right. And go on, Lord, put me right. Put me right now. Put me right at this service. Come and speak to me. Come and speak with power. Come to my soul and speak with power. Yes, that would be good, would it not? Yes, and the Savior healed many, and we have an account in chapter 5 about the man with a palsy. In other words, he was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. So they had to carry him to Jesus. They had to dismantle part of the roof so that they could let him down to where Jesus was. There was such a crowd of people wanting to hear Jesus and to see him. Would that that were the case today. In a more relevant sense than it likely was for most of the people gathered at that house on that occasion. Yes. He needed Jesus. He needed what the doctors of the time couldn't do for him. So he could not walk. And corresponding to that, we have the spiritual need that every unconverted sinner has, that they cannot walk. They cannot come to Christ. When Christ is calling, come unto me, they cannot come. The legs of their soul, so to speak, aren't work. Oh, what a blessing if we get healing for the legs of our souls so that we can come to Christ. In other words, so that we will believe in him. We need to be put right. Whatever parallel you draw between spiritual need and physical need, Christ was mostly healing spiritual disability, physical disability and spiritual disease. He was doing some healing of spiritual disease, but the one was illustrating the other, and that's how it should be for us. Yes, and we can think of the blindness that afflicts sinners when they cannot look to Christ, when they cannot believe in him. Yes, when they cannot look to Christ, when he says, look unto me and be ye saved. Look to me, I'm the Savior. And perhaps what you're saying is, I cannot look. My eyes are blinded. So you need healing. You need to go to Christ. Yes. And here's a prayer for you. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. There's wonderful things in the Bible. Are we neglecting the Bible? There's wonderful things to be found in it, if only the Lord would bless it to us. And if we would really be asking him, surely he would bless it to us. Surely he would apply it to our souls. But we must go on to the healing. That's the second thing, the healing. And I mentioned the leper. And we can turn back, at least I will turn back, to the account of this man full of leprosy. And what did Jesus do when the man prayed? He besought him, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He had no doubt about Jesus' power to heal him when he was full of leprosy. But, you see, was Jesus willing to heal this man? Very much so. He was ready at once to stretch out his hand and touch him and to say, I will, I am willing. Be thou clean. Be thou delivered from thy leprosy. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now, what is the sinner to do? He's full of spiritual disease. Will he get as far as saying, Lord, if thou wilt, Lord, if thou art willing, make me clean. Thou art able. But you see, we're to go further. We're to say, Lord, seeing I read that thou art willing, and seeing I read that thou art able, make me clean. Deliver me. Deliver me from spiritual disease. Deliver me from that sin that loathsome is, that fills my loins with pain. And I'm quoting from Psalm 38 just now. You see, we need to be put right. And we need to know where to go to. We have been told where to go to. And we might say, I don't know the way. Ah, well, cry out to Christ. He'll find you wherever you are. However far away from him, however far away from the kingdom of God, he can find you. He can hear you where you are. Oh, be crying out to him, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Ask the Lord, as it were, to put forth his hand and touch. He is able to do that. When you are unable to do anything to put yourself right, you see, lay hold of this. Think of this, that Christ is able. Just to say a word. Remember the various healings he did, and even in connection with Lazarus, to call out to him and send power with that call. Now you see, that's the thing in connection with spiritual healing, the power. Ask the Lord to exercise his power in connection with your disease. This loathsome disease. Sin is a loathsome disease, if we would get a grasp of that. Sin is a loathsome disease. Be asking the Lord to put you right. Yes? To stretch out his hand, as it were, and change. It just needs a touch from Christ. Just a word spoken into your mind to affect you and to bring you to himself. I used the expression about Christ and the wonderful things that he does and the wonderful things that he is able to do. So don't despair. Whatever your diseases, whatever spiritual weakness you feel, go to Christ. Cry out to Him. He's able to hear you wherever you are. Whatever your particular need is, whatever particular sin is affecting you, remember that Christ is able. He is able to save to the uttermost. That's it. Able to save to the uttermost. Whatever your disease is, whatever is particularly troubling you, go to Christ with it. And He can exercise His power. That's the great thing about salvation. The power of Christ to heal. And if we would lay hold on that, what a blessing it would be. If we would lay hold on Christ as one who is able to save to the uttermost, to go all the way in saving the sinner. Now, as far as healing is concerned, even with the skills in modern medicine, the doctors might go a great distance in providing for the recovery of some, but their powers are limited. They can go so far, but they can't go all the way. Yes, but there's nothing like that about spiritual healing and Christ and His spiritual healing. He is able to save altogether. There's no limitations in His power to save. You see, His is a perfect salvation. He has done all that was necessary. When He was in this world, when He suffered and died, until He said, "It is finished." And we could explain that in terms of what He had done. But what I want to point you to just now is this. The work of salvation was finished. And therefore, no one need to hesitate in connection with Christ providing healing for them. There's no limitation to the power of Christ to heal. Oh, may we believe that and go to Him and not question His power. Take another example, this time from chapter 4, where we read about Simon's wife, Peter's wife. Not Peter's wife so much as Peter's mother-in-law, his wife's mother. She was taken with a great fever, not just a little fever. She was a little feverish. No, she was very much feverish. And they besought Him for her. They told Him how sick she was, how much she needed healing. And we are told further that He rebuked the fever and it left her. He rebuked the fever. He told it to go away. He told it to leave her. Now, that's pictorial language to a large extent. Never mind. Take it as it stands. It's describing what the Savior did so that the woman was healed. And she was healed immediately. Yes. She arose and she ministered unto them. She served them. She provided a meal for them, very likely. Yes. And you see, what that is pointing us to is this, that when the Lord heals a sinner, that person is able to do service to Christ. That person is able to live a godly life, a God-honoring life. That person is able to pray for others, to pray for the Church of God, to pray for a blessing on the preaching of the Word, to pray for a blessing on every gathering of God's people and others gathering with them, to pray for a blessing on the gospel. That's service. That's evidence of healing. Yes. And how did it happen with Peter's mother-in-law? He spoke, did Christ. He expressed his will. And that's how it is with sinners who are spiritually dead. Christ speaks. Christ expresses his will. Christ tells the spiritual disease to go away. Let that man, let that woman recover. Let that man be healed in their souls. Yes, and there's power with that word. I'm coming back to that. Because that's what we need, spiritually speaking. That's what the seeking sinner needs. The power of the word. Power with the word. So that sinners might be born again. So that sinners might be healed. That's what we need. Yes. Are you seeking that yourself? Seeking that power. Have you come to the conclusion that you cannot save yourself? And that there's no hope for you except for this. That the Savior will exert his power and heal you. Ah, what a blessing. How desirable. You see, we're to think of ourselves. Think of that loathsome disease of sin. Think of how that disease will keep us out from heaven. Unless we are born again, unless we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, how desperate our need is. Oh, may the power of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit accompany the word to our soul. Yes, we need the power of Christ to accompany the word of the truth of the gospel to our souls. And if we take that seriously, then we'll be crying out to the Lord. You see, when I could speak about the paralyzed man, the Savior both said to him, thy sins be forgiven thee, and he said, rise up and walk. He could see the one thing, they couldn't see the other. But because they could see the one thing, they should have been saying, yes, the other thing must have happened too. The forgiveness of sins must have happened too. And we might say, how foolish it is to speak to sinners, telling them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're spiritually blind, they're spiritually dead. They cannot believe. Ah, but if there's power. That's what we should be asking for. Power. God's power. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of Christ. We should be asking for that. Asking seriously. That that disease would be swept away. That I would be made holy. That I would experience the word of God. Not just hearing it through my ears. But feeling its power. And the power of Christ, the power of the Spirit, accompanied the word, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for instance, and thou shalt be saved. The power of Christ accompanying that word, so that the sinner does actually believe. There's no hope apart from that. And we should be asking that the Lord in his mercy would give us grace to believe. That he would so accompany the word of the truth of the gospel, so that there would be this gracious, blessed influence that I or anyone else would believe in Christ and be saved and be fit for heaven. Yes. Lord, come unto me and give power to the legs of our souls. Give power, as it were, to the legs of our souls, so that we would actually come to Christ, that we wouldn't stay in spiritual laziness and a laziness that is the result of spiritual disease, but that I would come, that I would be drawn, that I would feel the power of the truth, so that I wouldn't stay where I am, but that I would come to Christ as a sinner that has been healed. Yes. Now, you have Christ dealing with a blind man. The man that was born blind that you read about in chapter 9 in John's Gospel. And the Savior and the man parted after he had got his eyesight in his natural eyes, the eyes of his body. But the Savior met him again and found him still spiritually blind. He said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe?" The man's got a spiritual disease, and he doesn't know what the Savior meant. He asked, "Who is he, Lord, that I should believe in him?" And the Savior told him, in effect, "I am the Son of God," and gave him grace to believe. Give him grace to trust. He said, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Yes, and the Spirit was working in the mind, in the heart of that man that was still spiritually blind. But not for long. Through the Spirit's working, there was a gracious saving change. He got healing, and he began to serve. He began to minister to the Savior. Yes. And what he did was, he worshipped. He worshipped the Savior. That showed spiritual healing. We might not know, or we might think of outward worshipping, but the way this is recorded in Scripture, we can be sure that this was a spiritual saving thing. This worshipping was sincere. It was true. Yes. Spiritual healing. Oh, may the Lord give us that, so that we would worship him in sincerity and in truth. And the Savior is saying to us, use the eyes of your soul. You may not be able to, but this is the call, and this is what we should be asking, that the Lord would put power in that call. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. There is no other Savior. There is no other spiritual physician. He is able, and we are to go to him. And he is calling us, and we should be asking that he would apply these calls, these gospel calls, that he would apply them with power." The third thing then, fairly briefly, speaking the kingdom of God. "He spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing." Speaking about the kingdom of God. You see, the great means in applying healing to a sinner's soul is the preaching of the gospel. And Paul writes to the Corinthians in his first epistle in chapter 1, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." It pleased God to give healing, spiritual healing, in connection with preaching. That's what we should be looking for when preaching takes place among us, that there would be spiritual healing. That's the means that God has provided so that we would get good for our soul. The means. Yes? Oh, may the Lord be blessing the preaching among us, so that people would get good for their souls. And we should be asking that for ourselves and for others. The people of God should be asking that there would be much spiritual healing carried out. Yes. It's as if the Lord has opened a clinic. people come to it, and they're needing healing. But are they really concerned to get healing for their souls? That's what we should be asking. Am I in coming to church where the Lord is pleased to bless His word from time to time at any rate? Am I asking for spiritual healing? Am I wanting spiritual healing? Well, most certainly we should be. Yes. And there was the Savior beginning His ministry, as John the Baptist had begun His ministry, with these words, repent for the kingdom of God, sorry, the kingdom of heaven. But they refer to exactly the same thing, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. But repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, the great King has come. The great King with His healing medicines, He has come. Yes, and we are to repent. And again, we would do well to be asking, give me the grace of repentance. Just as I am to ask for the grace of faith, give healing to my whole soul, give healing to my whole spiritual being, so that I would turn from my own ways to serve the living God. That I would look away from myself and all my own resources and look to Christ as one who is able to save to the uttermost. And Christ said many a thing in relation to the kingdom of God. And think of this that He said, I am come that they might have life, that sinners might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the one who does good to those who I will call to be my sheep. And I will give my life for the sheep. I will die instead. There's the gospel. I will die instead. Christ saying, because it's only His death that will do good to anybody. But Christ's death as a substitute for sinners, that brought about a great provision. Oh, how well stocked the drug cupboard, or whatever you want to describe it, of this great physician is. How well stocked it is. He is able to heal every disease. He will never say, this is too difficult for me. I haven't studied this area of medicine. The great physician knows every area of spiritual medicine. Go to him whatever it is that is troubling you. Or go to him with whatever it is that should be troubling you. Go to him as one who is able to save to the uttermost. Yes, and think of Christ speaking to His disciples. It's in verse 22, telling them about what was to happen, telling them about why He came into the world. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain. And be raised the third day. They didn't understand. They needed more teaching. They needed the teaching to come with more power. There was a time for that, of course. Yes. But we should be going to the Lord with the gospel in our minds and asking the Lord to apply it to us. Not to leave us to our own ignorance and carelessness and to all the spiritual diseases that afflict us. Yes, the center of the gospel is this. The center indeed of the whole Bible is this. That Christ died for sinners and rose again. Christ is on the throne of glory. Christ is able to save to the uttermost. We should be asking Him to deliver us from all our diseases. To begin the work of recovery. and to continue it until we are brought at last to heaven, made fit for it. Yes, and just to notice verse 2 in our chapter, Christ sending his disciples to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And that's pointing us to Christ sending out ambassadors, Christ sending out those who would preach the gospel. We don't heal the sick, the bodily sick, unless we have had that particular training. But, you see, we can carry that thought with us, that healing the sick in body or in mind is a picture of healing the sickness of the soul, and that we are to do that in connection with preaching the kingdom of God, in connection with preaching the gospel. If we preach the gospel, as we are trying to do, then looking to the Lord to send his power, looking for Christ to work in connection with the preaching, we can expect sinners to be healed, sinners to be born again, sinners to be brought to a living faith and to living repentance. Yes. And in the hope of that happening, we should be praying. We should be praying earnestly that the Lord would give his blessing. Yes. And we read again in chapter 5 of multitudes coming to hear Christ and to be healed of him of their infirmities. Multitudes coming. Where are the multitudes today coming to hear the gospel? Well, they will come. They have come. And Christ is ever ready to receive those who come. Even if they are just a few who come on a Sabbath like this in our time, even if there's only a few coming to Christ, they can be healed of their infirmities. They can be healed of their diseases. But let us be asking that sinners in their multitudes would be made willing to come to Christ. And here is one of Christ's ambassadors. And he was in Lystra, what we would recognize as one of the cities in Turkey. He was saying, we preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities, these idols, unto the living God which made heaven and earth. God made the world. There's his authority to call sinners to believe in his Son. There's his authority to call sinners to repentance, yes, and to send out ambassadors to make known the gospel. We preach, says Paul. Preaching is still going on, with the same end in view, that sinners would come to the great physician and put their case in his hands and ask that he would heal them. I've got this disease. I can't heal myself. But that were able. You go with all your need, with your disease that is loathsome. Come with your spiritual leprosy. Say that you are full of it. And you cannot get rid of it. And you cannot find a doctor in this world to heal your soul. But you have heard of Christ. You have heard of Christ as a great physician. And ask him to heal you, to put you right, to set you on the way to heaven, and to forgive all your sins. He is able. He is able. You're not able. But you're not to give up. You're not to let things slip. You're not to lean back and let time go on without seeking salvation. Christ is able to save to the uttermost. Come then to Christ with all your spiritual need, and may he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Take each of us under thine own loving care. grant you bless us with all spiritual blessings. To thou a mercy, we are needy. Thou art able to save to the uttermost. May we believe that. May we look to Christ. May we seek healing for our souls. Bless the word this evening. Bless all that has been done in thy name everywhere. Do wonderful things. And grant to fill the whole earth with thy glory. Bring down Satan's kingdom. Deliver this world from the power of Satan and from those who are doing his evil work for him. Grant to give a blessing. Come with power to our souls so that we would seek thee and seek healing. Seek to be delivered from the wrath to come. Pardon us and keep us. Be with us through the rest of this day. May we seek to make good use of it. Grant to help us. Grant to wash away our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.